Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm thrilled to be here with all of you today. I have a great guest on my show, Lionel Perez. He is from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and also works hand-in-hand with the Student Farm Workers Alliance. And along with Lionel, I have Nico Page joining him to act as his interpreter. And so I'm really excited to have them on, and I'll be inviting them on in just a little bit. But first, I want to talk to you about some things going on in and around the news that you want to know about, and, of course, share my weekly recipe with you. So first off, for those of you that do not know, every year I host, along with the River Fund New York, a local food pantry, a big Christmas event for the people that are in need living in the area of Jamaica, Queens. And we do this in Rufus King Park. It's always the Tuesday before Christmas. And this year I got notice that they were thinking of canceling it. I've been doing this now for 24 years. But this year, due to Toys R Us going out of business, they don't have toys. So we're doing an emergency toy drive. I know we do not have a lot of time, but they really thought they were going to be able to secure toys from some other resources, and they did not come through. So this is an emergency toy drive. You can go to the River Fund New York's website and go to holiday events and click it on, and you can donate for a toy there. We're also looking for angel donators, you know, who have a little bit more to give. And you can donate right online. I also have a link on my website at iegreen.com for the toy drive. But in addition to the toy drive, we do a huge coat drive, winter clothing drive, and also a secondhand jewelry drive. Many of my listeners, if you're like me, every year I have loads of jewelry that just kind of sits there. They're not my favorite. They're beautiful, but they're still not my favorite, and I tend to keep wearing the same earrings over and over. And I have loads of earrings every year that I don't wear. And I figure if I haven't worn it in a year, it's worthy of being passed on. And most of the things are like new because I haven't worn them. If they need a polish, I give them a polish first, and then I put them in a box and I bring them over to the IE Green Homestead, where we collect everything that we donate on the Tuesday before Christmas. So if you have any donations, please put them in a box, put them in a bag, label them, and drop them off in Old Westbury at the IE Green Homestead. If you can't arrange to get here and you have a significant amount, send me an email at bhavani@iegreen.com and we'll try to arrange to pick it up. So that's that. Also, if you want to sign up to volunteer to help us cook for the Italian feast that we are making, there is also a sign up on my website at iegreen.com. So I'm glad I got all that out of the way. Some fun things going on during the holiday season. There's so many, so I'm not going to talk about all of them. Just want to highlight a few. Next Wednesday, December 12th, there is a sanctuary in the city, and that's a vegan cocktail party. It's a fundraiser for Woodstock Farm Sanctuary, which is a wonderful sanctuary for animals to spend the rest of their days while on the planet in a beautiful setting. And so it's really lovely to support that. And tickets are still available, so just go on to the Woodstock Farm Sanctuary website for that. Food and Water Watch, which is a wonderful nonprofit organization doing so much work to help protect our food and water and air. They're having a holiday party on Long Island for the Long Island chapter at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation at Shelter Rock on Thursday, December 13th. It's a potluck. All are invited. And then Sunday, December 16th through Tuesday, December 18th, is when I'm doing the cooking event, prepping, cooking, and serving people in need at Rufus King Park. So, like I said, if you want to sign up for that, you can. And then coming up in January, the NOFA Winter Conference, NOFA New York, which is the Northeast Organic Farming Association. They have their annual winter conference, which is a full weekend in Saratoga Springs. And it's always a great, great event. This year, our local farmers here at Sangley Farm will be honored. So if you can make it to that conference, that's going to be great. And now I want to just talk about you know, our elected government official, who has not actually even taken office yet, our newly elected representative, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is pushing her fellow Democrats to sign on to this Green New Deal that she has come up with, which will really take our transform our economy and society at the scale needed to really abort the climate crisis. So I'm really excited about that. And I hope all of you can go online and there's, you know, a petition to sign to try to get other Democrats to back this bill. As of now, only 15 Democrats have backed this bill, and we really need the Democratic leaders in Congress to really sign on and support this bill. It's a huge overhaul, and it's really what is necessary in order to transform our economy into a fossil-free, renewable energy system. So please sign on for that. Also, I know it's hard to believe Governor Cuomo has banned fracking in New York State, yet he's still participating in all this fracking infrastructure. Right now, there's the Delaware River Basin is in dangerous turmoil right now with fracking, and they are planning on putting in a new pipeline. 17 million people get fresh drinking water from this river basin, and we are trying to oppose and come together to sign this petition to oppose the new pipeline they're putting in the Delaware River Basin. So I have a petition on my website to ask you to sign that. And also, for those that don't know, the United States Department of Agriculture has finally approved a requirement to label all food products that contain GMOs, and that's supposed to happen by the end of the year. I don't know if we'll actually see that happen or not, but it's supposed to. However, I have a petition to send out to Kellogg's, and hopefully that will wake up any other companies that are trying to avert this new rule by, instead of actually putting on a clear label that says this product contains GMOs, they're putting on another barcode, a code that you actually will have to scan with your smartphone to get the information as to whether there's GMOs in the product. And we're opposing this because, obviously, so many people don't have smartphones, and usually the people that don't have smartphones are also people of a low socioeconomic situation, and it's just not fair. We need clear labeling that everyone can see the minute they pick up the product, not one that they have to like pull out their phone and scan, because otherwise they're not going to do that. And Kellogg's knows that if, you know, if something is labeled GMO, people are going to pick something that doesn't have GMOs if they have the choice. So a lot of companies are really scared about this transparency, but we all deserve this transparency and we need to demand it. So again, you can go into my website and sign a petition for that. Now I'd like to share with you my recipe. This week I made some gluten-free chocolate walnut tahini cookies with the holidays coming and cookies everywhere. I thought it would be nice to have some healthy cookies out there as well. These cookies just came out great, and this recipe makes about 60 cookies, so you don't even have to double it unless you're having a really big party. You need 1.5 cups. I also made them gluten-free, but of course, if that's not an issue for you, you can just substitute regular flour. So 1.5 cups of finely chopped walnuts, but not pureed into a flour, just finely chopped. 1 cup gluten-free organic oats, 1.5 cups gluten-free flour, 1/2 teaspoon baking powder, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 3/4 cup of cacao powder, 1 teaspoon salt, 1.5 cups of maple syrup, 1 cup of canola oil or another organic GMO-free oil, 2 teaspoons vanilla extract, and 1/4 cup tahini. Actually, for the oil, you can also use coconut oil. I'm sure that would work great. And so you can combine all the dry ingredients in one bowl and mix that up well, and then whisk all the wet ingredients together in another bowl. And then you're going to combine the wet ingredients into the dry ingredients, mix it up well with a whisk, and then grease a cookie sheet, or you can put down some parchment paper, and drop tablespoon-sized cookie batter onto the sheets, leaving, of course, space in between for them to spread out a bit. And you're going to bake that at 350 for 5 minutes. Turn the cookie sheet around and bake for another 3 minutes. So these cooked up in just about 8 minutes. They'll be soft when you take them out of the oven, but they will harden up and crispen up as they cool. And so you just let them cool before transferring them onto a platter. And these cookies are not overly sweet. You know, it's one of the reasons I love them. But if you like very sweet cookies, you can, of course, up the maple syrup to 2 cups, and you will have your sweet cookies. Okay, and now it's my pleasure to introduce to all of you Lionel Perez. He has been a key leader of the award-winning human rights organization, the Coalition for Immokalee Workers, for over a decade now. And he has been working for years in the fields in Florida and along the East Coast, harvesting tomatoes, watermelon, and other crops. Today, as part of the Fair Food Program, Mr. Perez and his colleagues educate tens of thousands of farm workers on their rights in the fields and all farms participating in the program, including the right to work free of slavery, sexual violence, health, and safety risks. Of course, we would just take those as a given, but that has not been the case. So they're really educating people on their rights there. And Mr. Perez also hosts shows on the Coalition of Immokalee Workers Community Radio Station and Community Communications. And throughout the year, he facilitates and conducts dozens of popular education trainings for weekly membership meetings. He also represents the coalition at a national level, speaking publicly on the challenges faced by farm workers in Florida, both during major actions with thousands of consumers. There's been a huge one with Wendy's, who has not signed on yet in paying a couple extra pennies for their tomatoes. They're one of the few fast food restaurants still holding out. And in dozens of presentations throughout the year. He's been featured in publications such as CNN's Freedom Project and the best-selling book, Tomato Land, whose author, Barry Estabrook, I interviewed a couple months ago. So I'm really thrilled to have Lionel on. And with him will be Nico Page. He's from the Alliance for Fair Food, and he'll be doing the interpreting from Spanish to English for me, and for Lionel, so that we can actually communicate. So welcome. Lionel, are you with me?
Morning.
Lionel, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
I'm Leo.
Hi. Okay, I'll call you Leo. Nico, can you hear me okay?
Yep, we're here together.
Great. Okay. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited. And, you know, hopefully we'll get the pace with the translation down smooth so that everybody can understand. I thought maybe, even though I have had Barry Estabrook on and have talked about the Coalition of Immokalee Workers before, for those that are listening for the first time, can you please tell everybody listening what the Coalition of Immokalee Workers is and what they do?
Sí, bueno, gracias por el tiempo. Thank you for this time. Queremos compartir un poco de la organización y el programa por comida justa aquí en Florida.
Yeah, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for having us. We're going to share a little bit about what the Fair Food Program is and how our campaign for Fair Food works. And what the coalition is.
Okay.
Como muchos han escuchado, somos una organización de trabajadores del campo. La mayoría se dedican lo que es la pizca de tomate aquí en el sureste de la Florida.
As many of you know, we are a farm worker-led organization, and we work to ensure rights for farm workers that work here in the Florida fields, especially in Florida tomatoes.
Desde el 1993, grupo de trabajadores empezaron a organizarse para eliminar las malas condiciones, la violencia, el robo de salario que había en la industria agrícola aquí en Florida.
We started organizing in 1993 when a small group of farm workers just started gathering and seeing how they could eliminate some of the abuses that they faced on a daily basis in the fields, which include wage theft, verbal and physical abuse, and sexual harassment, and even modern-day slavery.
Entonces, y el salario también era un problema en la comunidad porque estaban pagando totalmente una miseria a los trabajadores.
Another large problem was the sub-poverty wages that these workers were being paid, so oftentimes they couldn't even make ends meet on top of all the abuses that they faced.
Y las condiciones que los trabajadores recibían a diario, por ejemplo, los malos tratos, que tenían que estar expuestos en condiciones de pesticidas y otros tipos de abuso.
And there were all these awful conditions that they faced, and they also had to face things like pesticide use that was unprotected, and physical abuse.
Entonces, los trabajadores ya no aguantaban eso, estaban cansados de tanto los abusos. Así empieza a organizarse, empezando para mejorar el salario.
So the farm workers got to a point where they just couldn't do it anymore, and they started organizing and they started working to change these conditions, and that was back in the 90s.
Un ejemplo claro, aquí se trabaja por cantidad de cubeta que haces. Una cubeta lleva 32 libras de tomate.
So you can get an idea of what a farm worker's life is like. The way that the tomato works is that it's a piece rate. So you have to fill up a 32-pound bucket full of tomatoes, and you get a little card for that.
Una cubeta, el promedio hoy en día, le pagan 50 centavos al trabajador por 32 libras.
Today, on average, a farm worker will get paid about 50 cents for that 32 pounds of tomatoes that they have to carry in the hot sun.
Y la idea es, por ejemplo, uno va al supermercado a comprar 32 libras, te costaría casi $70 aquí en Florida.
And so what we see is that here in Florida, if you went to the supermarket, buying 32 pounds of tomatoes would cost you almost $60, as opposed to the 50 cents that farm workers receive for it.
Entonces, nace una campaña por comida justa después de muchas acciones aquí en Imokali, paro laborales, huelga de hambre.
So after labor stoppages and hunger strikes, farm workers realized that going to the growers, the ones who employed them directly, wasn't going to work. And that's when the campaign for fair food began in the early 2000s.
Y así nace la campaña por comida justa, una campaña que pide directamente a grandes corporaciones que compran tomate en Florida y que tienen una enorme ganancia sobre la industria agrícola.
And so what the Campaign for Fair Food does is that it asks the multi-billion dollar corporations that buy tomatoes en masse to do their part in ensuring farm workers are treated well, because they have a lot of power over this industry. They can determine the size, the color, the type of tomato, and they can also determine how that tomato is harvested. So we started working with these large corporations and asking them to help out our cause.
Y las demandas de los trabajadores es que ellos se comprometen a pagar un centavo por cada libra de tomate que compran, y ese centavo que va directamente al trabajador.
And the first farm worker demand is that these large companies pay one penny more per pound of tomatoes, and that penny goes straight to the farm worker.
Y que corporaciones de comida rápida compran tomate donde los ranchos respeten los derechos de los trabajadores, que los mismos trabajadores implementen sus derechos.
Another demand is that these fast food and supermarket corporations buy from farms with a basic human rights code of conduct, where farm worker human rights are respected and where farm workers have dignity and are able to work free of exploitation.
Y otra demanda, que le den una oportunidad al trabajador de hablar o tener un poder dentro de la industria agrícola y que puede quejarse sin tener miedo y sin represalias.
And the third demand of the Campaign for Fair Food is just that farm workers have a voice in the industry. So they are the ones that determine what that human rights code of conduct is, and that they get notified of when changes are happening in the agricultural industry and how it's going to affect them, because oftentimes they're the ones that are most affected, but they're also the last to hear about any changes.
Entonces, los trabajadores dejaron las acciones que se hacían aquí y salir fuera de Florida para hablar con los consumidores.
And so farm workers left Immokalee and left immediate Florida in its immediacy and started campaigning on a national level to get these large corporations on board.
Okay. Now, I have been involved in the petition with Wendy's. Is Wendy's the only fast food holdout still, or are there other corporations that are also still holding out?
Bueno, tenemos la campaña con Wendy's ahorita y también con Publix aquí en la Florida.
Yeah, so right now our major campaign on a national level is against Wendy's, but we also are working in Florida and in the southeastern states against Publix, which is a large supermarket chain.
Uh-huh. Now, the Wendy's campaign, I know it's been going on for a couple years. They have not budged? I thought they were actually thinking about changing.
Básicamente, sí, varios años que Wendy's no quiere tomar una responsabilidad, aunque ahorita son 14 corporaciones que están trabajando en el programa por comida justa aquí en Florida, el 90% de los ranchos. Wendy's sigue negando todavía.
So we've gotten 14 major corporations on board with our program, but Wendy's has been really difficult. And they've moved their purchasing around, and they just don't want to do the right thing and respect farm worker rights.
Wow. So, okay, so that campaign continues. Well, I'll continue to put that petition up on my website because I think it's really important. I just have a technical question, not technical, a question. For that 32-pound bucket of tomatoes that a farm worker picks and gets 50 cents for, how long does it take them to fill a 32-pound bucket of tomatoes?
Sí, en un día un trabajador puede hacer tal vez 150 cubetas. Eso depende del día, de la planta y del tiempo. Pero hay días que un trabajador puede hacer 50 cubetas nada más.
It really depends on the season. Like earlier in the season, it's a lot easier because there are more tomatoes. It depends on the heat. It depends on the plants. But on a good day, a farm worker will harvest something between 120 and 150 of those buckets, which in an 8-hour day gives you about minimum wage. But on a bad day, you could be out there for hours and only pick 50 buckets, which would make you way below minimum wage. So it really depends on how the fields are and how the harvest is that day.
Entonces, los trabajadores agrícolas o piscadores de tomate no pueden medir un salario por semana ni por mes, tiene que ser anualmente.
So the USDA can't even regulate, or the US Labor Bureau can't even regulate farm worker income on a hourly, weekly, even monthly basis. It's on a yearly wage, basically, is how they evaluate how farm workers are being paid because it varies so much day to day.
Entonces sería un promedio de 15 a 17 mil por año.
And on average, farm workers will make $15,000 to $17,000 a year.
Working how many hours a day?
Uno puede trabajar de 8 a 12 horas que son regulares o normal.
Normally, you work anywhere between 8 to 12 hours a day.
Por ejemplo, ahorita se empiezan como las fiestas fin del año. Los trabajadores van a tratar de trabajar 10 horas diarios para que una semana o dos semanas no van a tener trabajo porque todos se van de vacaciones.
So, for example, now that the holidays are coming up, farm workers will try and get as many hours as possible. So they'll be working 10 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week, just trying to get enough money to be able to take a week off, especially when a lot of the farms are also taking time off.
Y si hay un día que se tiene que trabajar en otros días festivos, los trabajadores están listos para trabajar y a veces se hace cuando se piden tantos demandas de las corporaciones de tomate.
And if a farm is open, say on a holiday, say like Christmas Eve or Thanksgiving, because a large corporation like Wendy's is demanding a bunch of tomatoes that day, farm workers are completely ready and able to go out and work on that day. So the holidays are really very different here.
And do the farm workers, being that they're not paid an annual salary, do they get any type of benefits like vacation days or sick days or anything like that?
No, el trabajar en la industria agrícola creo que es uno de los trabajos que no tiene o no trae ningún beneficio. Y con nuestra campaña tampoco nosotros estamos pidiendo beneficios, por ejemplo, de salud o día de descanso.
No, working in the agricultural industry as a picker really has very, very few benefits. And our campaign, even with the amount of demands we have that are changing the face of agricultural labor, we can't even ask for things like healthcare or sick days or days or paid days off. In fact, yeah, farm workers will, their work comes and goes a lot, and they might work for different companies, and they're paid on a weekly basis. And so it's very difficult to have any sort of benefits like that, but the corporations also have no motivation to provide anything like that. Farm workers have very little protection.
Un ejemplo claro, antes del programa por comida justa, porque el programa empieza como el 2010, un trabajador a veces no tenía derecho de ir a tomar agua. No tienes agua limpia, por ejemplo. No tienes ni horario para comer. Como derechos básicos no tenían los trabajadores aquí en Florida.
A clear example of how few rights these farm workers actually have, or how little their rights are respected, is that before the Fair Food Program, which began in Florida farms in 2010, farm workers often weren't even able to take time off to go drink water while working in the fields. So they're working in 90, 100 degree temperatures out in the fields, and they can't even get access to clean water or shade. And if they do, they could be beaten or fired. So really, it's not even a thing about having like healthcare on a yearly basis. It's just like health and safety on an hourly basis within the workplace is in danger.
Wow. You know, when I interviewed Barry Esterbrook about his book Tomato Land, it was really I want to say uplifting, actually, to see the difference that book or the time made. Just it seemed like in the 6 short years from the first book that came out to the second book that came out, that so many changes had already been accomplished, which is rare to actually see that amount of change. So I got to say that the Coalition for Immokalee Workers is really working it. You know, from an organizational standpoint, change is happening relatively quickly, even though I'm sure not enough. But can Lionel tell us a little bit about how it was before, when the book first came out, you know, in the early 2000s, to how it is now? You know, talking about the life of a farmer, what the conditions were that they faced, and how they have improved.
Sí, ha habido un cambio muy grande. Como hemos dicho, desde 2010, la industria agrícola cambia básicamente una cara diferente.
So, like we were saying, 2010 was really the turning point for the agricultural industry, because that's when the Fair Food Program that the CIW pioneered started coming into effect on different farms.
Hoy en día, parte del staff de la coalición, nosotros entramos en el 90% de la industria de tomate a hablar sobre los derechos de los trabajadores. Y las compañías nos dan una hora, y esa hora las compañías pagan para que los trabajadores puedan recibir el mensaje de sus derechos.
Today, thanks to all of our campaigning and all of our allies campaigning, about 90% of farms are part of, Florida farms are part of the Fair Food Program. And so, for example, our staff gets 1 hour to go to each of these farms, and the farm will pay their workers for this hour of education that the CIW provides about what their rights are and how they can advocate for their own rights and what to do if their rights are being transgressed.
El trabajador tiene el derecho de tener agua limpio, tiene derecho a tomar un descanso de 5 minutos si su salud está amenazado.
Farm workers have a right to drink clean water. They have a right to take 5 minutes of rest if their health is in danger.
Tiene el derecho de lavar las manos, por ejemplo, llevar agua, sombra en lugar de trabajo. Y lo más importante es puede quejarse sin miedo, sin represalias.
They have access to shade. They have access to clean water, and they can wash their hands before eating, for example. But more than anything, the most important right that the Fair Food Program to bring to these farms is the right to speak up if your rights are being abused. So the Fair Food Standards Council actually has a 24-hour hotline where farm workers can call if anything is amiss, and if any of their rights that we teach them about are not being respected.
Donde trabajadores tienen esa oportunidad de poner una queja en cualquier abuso que pasa, y donde se tiene que dar una solución y se tiene que mejorar la compañía si quiere seguir vendiendo a las corporaciones.
So farm workers can call in with any sort of complaints about how they're being treated or how conditions on the farm are, and because the farm is part of this Fair Food Program that is signed by both corporations, farms, and the coalition itself, they have they're legally bound to respect farm worker rights. And if they don't, for example, if a crew leader is found to be beating his workers, then that farm will actually lose the business of a big corporation like McDonald's or like Burger King, because those corporations are part of the Fair Food Program and they can't buy from a farm that's found to be abusing farm worker rights. And so what we've done is made the sort of ethical, moral, and legal thing also the marketable thing for these farms, because now they lose business if they abuse their farm workers.
Y este programa, lo más importante también, que es cero tolerancia del acoso y de la esclavitud moderna, que casos han pasado hace 20 años son 9 casos de esclavitud moderna que hemos visto y muchos casos de acoso.
And speaking about how bad conditions on farms can be, believe it or not, farms in Florida have been found to have modern-day slavery. The CIW has been involved in 7 out of the last 8 cases of modern-day slavery here in Florida and litigating and investigating those and resolving those. And additionally, 80% of farm worker women will face some sort of sexual harassment in the fields. So the most important aspect of our outline is the fact that we have no tolerance for modern-day slavery or gender-based violence. And complaints about either of those are generally resolved within very, very short times.
Y los trabajadores en el 90% de las compañías y el 14 corporaciones, los trabajadores reciben un centavo extra por cada libra de tomate, un promedio de 32 centavos, aparte de 50 centavos, si venden a esa compañía.
And farm workers that work on one of these 90% of Florida farms that is receiving business from the 14 corporations that are part of the program, those corporations pay 1 penny more that goes straight to the farm workers' pocket. And so that means that per bucket, they're being paid 32 cents extra since it's 1 penny more per pound. And so we're raising the wages of farm workers from 50 cents per bucket to 80 cents per bucket, which makes a really big difference. And that on their paycheck looks like the food program bonus.
Oh, that's great. Now, the Fair Food Program is really limited to Florida. What happens with the rest of the country? You know, thinking, you know, the Midwest and California, where so much of our food products are grown. What kind of protections do those farms have?
Sí, bueno, nosotros estamos empezando en Florida, pero ya 3 temporadas que cubrimos 7 estados un poco más al norte.
Yeah, well, we speak a lot about Florida because that's where we've started and because we have 90% of farms, which is more than in any other state. But as of 3 seasons ago, we have expanded to 7 other states in the southeast. So we're in Georgia, Maryland, New Jersey, North and South Carolina, and everything in between. And we're currently trying to expand to Texas as well.
Y bueno, estamos viendo de cómo expandir también el programa por comida justa, básicamente el modelo donde los mismos trabajadores vigilen sus derechos.
And we're currently trying to take this general framework that we call worker-driven social responsibility because it's the workers themselves that are advocating for their rights. We're taking that model and we're trying to apply it to other industries. So aside from Florida tomatoes, we're expanding to Florida strawberries, and Florida bell peppers, and in Vermont, a new program called Milk with Dignity just launched, and it does the same thing for Vermont dairy workers. So Ben and Jerry's recently signed onto a program there to only buy from dairy farms where farm worker rights are being respected.
Por eso, para nosotros es importante que Wendy's tome esa responsabilidad y que venga a participar para mejorar los derechos de los trabajadores o que sea más fuerte. Y estamos boicoteando a Wendy's. Es la única manera también fácil para apoyar esta campaña.
And that's why we're campaigning against Wendy's, because, you know, there can only be farms where farm workers are being exploited so long as companies like Wendy's are okay buying from those farms. So once Wendy's joins our program, all the farm workers on the farms that they buy from will suddenly be under the Fair Food Program and will receive those same protections that other farm workers do. And so that's how we keep expanding, is by getting these new corporations on board. And the best way for consumers to support is to boycott Wendy's. So by not buying at Wendy's, we send this strong message as consumers that we don't stand for these sorts of human rights abuses and that corporations have a duty to protect farm workers.
That's great. And I'm glad you're not giving up. I mean, I can't believe with all that pressure that Wendy's has not budged. To me, it's just amazing. You know, it's just such a bad PR statement, and the fact that there's not enough people caring to boycott Wendy's that they really feel it in their pocket, because as we know, that's the only way change is going to happen, is when a corporation is feeling it in their pocket. So I will, you know, like I said, I'll share that again with my listeners in case they have forgotten, although most of my following doesn't eat at fast food restaurants to start with. Okay, now what, let's take a couple-minute break, and when we come back, I'd actually like to talk about how gender-based violence is happening in the fields and what the coalition is doing to attack that. Okay, so everyone, don't go anywhere. I'm talking with Lionel Perez from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, and Nico Page from the Alliance for Fair Food has been interpreting for him. So don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from Progressive Voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Have you ever noticed how pathetic the mainstream news is and how it's biased, vague, and utterly devoid of any objectivity? Do you or anyone you know still believe America is a democracy? Well, I insist you tune into the Plutocracy Report with Vince Marcanti right here on PRN every Friday at 4 o'clock. I'll explain how things truly are, like America is a veiled plutocracy, and I'll show you the evidence is everywhere. Once we remove the program bias and deception, our news outlets convey the scripted narrative of the deep state while distracting and dividing us. It's time to break the dichotomy of division so we can finally unite and remove these sociopathic plutocrats from power. Join me on the Plutocracy Report with Vince Marcanti.
Yeah, I'm not known as a gadget guy, but I love gadgets that really do the trick, like the new app. The Progressive Radio Network has an app, thanks to our friends at Audio Now. Hey, this is Mark Farrell, host of Insight on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we broadcast live out of New York City. But if you can't catch the show live, no frets. It's always archived. It's always on the app. Download it now, listen later, whenever you want. The Progressive Radio Network app is available from our friends at Audio Now. Check it out.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm talking with Lionel Perez from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, along with Nico Page, who is an intern with the Alliance for the Fair Food Program in Immokalee, Florida. And he's here acting as Lionel's interpreter. And so I couldn't do this interview without him. So thank you, Nico, for joining us as well. Right before our break, I asked about gender-based violence in the fields. You know, I remember reading about that in Tomato Land and hearing about it, and I just was hoping you could talk to us a little bit about what you mean by gender-based violence. Of course, we can use our imagination. But if you could talk to us a little bit about that and how is the coalition working to end that?
Bueno, sí, en los derechos que hemos hecho, básicamente basamos en lo que es la discriminación en el lugar de trabajo.
Well, one of the first tenets of the human rights that we try and ensure in fields and that we seek to make sure is protected is that farm workers not be discriminated for any reason.
Donde trabajar en la industria agrícola, venimos de diferentes países, de diferentes géneros puede ser, y básicamente que sea un lugar de trabajo que siempre que haya respeto. Eso es, estamos trabajando mucho sobre eso para concientizar básicamente la comunidad, concientizar los trabajadores o específicamente los contratistas o más los encargados de diferentes ranchos.
Farm workers come from all different countries, and there are both men and women that work in the fields. And so we really try and educate farm workers and especially the crew leaders and the farmers who own these big farms about how to not discriminate against these different groups, and that we really fight to make sure that farm workers are respected in every way when they're working in the fields.
Entonces, es uno de los derechos también que es importante para los trabajadores. Porque muchos pueden hacer una queja en cualquier violación de sus derechos de que sean discriminados por cualquier razón.
So that's one of the really important things for us. And farm workers can make any sort of complaint about anything that happens in the fields. And so say a woman faces something like a denigrating remark or an inappropriate remark in the field, they can report that, call up a hotline, and we will investigate that. And within 2 to 3 weeks, that claim will usually be resolved. And either the person who made that remark, say it's a crew leader, will be suspended, or that company or that farm will face repercussions until they educate their farm workers and their crew leaders about how to respect each other and how to treat each other with respect.
Puede haber un 15% de mujeres haciendo el mismo trabajo, y eso también puede ser muy fácil un lugar de trabajo donde pueden acusar a las mujeres, y eso es un cero tolerancia bajo este programa, y estamos trabajando duro para eliminar lo que es el acoso dentro de la industria agrícola.
So farm workers, only about 14% of them are women, which means that they are very vulnerable, even more so than in many other industries, because in part because there are so few of them. And so it's really a very dangerous workplace, or it used to be a very dangerous workplace for women, because they face everything from, you know, just comments and catcalling to very real and very brutal sexual harassment and violence. And that's why our program is really focusing on farm worker women rights, because we need to eliminate those sorts of abuses in the fields.
Y gracias por el programa por comida justa. Las corporaciones también han tomado en serio eso, donde cualquier acoso, eso va a ser una consecuencia parte del mercado si siguen pasando en casos en la industria.
And thanks to the campaign for Fair Foods advocacy and the Fair Food programs like efficiency, these big time fast food corporations, now they actually care about women's rights as well, and they're working with us to ensure that farm worker women are not abused, because we've implemented the zero tolerance policy where if a farm is found to have any sort of gender-based violence, they will be suspended until they correct that.
Y esa es una manera que nosotros hemos logrado de eliminar esos tipos de abuso que tienen que ser consecuencia del mercado.
And so this sort of market consequence is really the mechanism that we've managed to use to eliminate gender-based violence on our farms and basically eradicate sexual harassment on the Fair Food Program farms.
That's wonderful. And what about gay and lesbian situations? Are those also protected?
Yeah, I would. I've attended worker education sessions, and during the discrimination talk, when they talk about, you know, we can't be discriminated against women, we can't be discriminated against people because of the language that they speak, we also bring up the fact that people have different sexual orientations and preferences, and stress the fact that those rights are just as important as any other. And, you know, any case of discrimination, it doesn't matter what it's for, whether it's for your color or for who you love, is investigated by our program. So it's not like gay or lesbian rights wouldn't be respected for being a different sort of human right. We see them as just as important of a human right as any other, and they're just as protected under our program.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. What else did I want to ask about that? Hold on 1 second. I had notes here. Okay, well, that went away. I'll come back to it. Can you talk a little bit about the connection between the Student Farm Worker Alliance, which is the organization I actually reached out to bring someone on board for the show, and the Coalition of Immokalee Workers? How do they work together, and what is the Student Farm Worker Alliance?
Yeah, so I'll hop on this question. The Alliance for Fair Food is our, like, overarching ally network. And so the way that the coalition works is that at first, as we were sort of detailing in the history, the farm workers here were just fighting in Immokalee against their growers, the ones who directly employed them, and then they realized that didn't work. And that's when they started realizing they needed greater allies, and that's when they started appealing to consumers. So the Student Farm Worker Alliance was founded in 2001 during the Taco Bell campaign. And it still exists today, and it is now a part of the Alliance for Fair Food, which is this greater ally network of the coalition. So we have faith allies, student allies, labor organizers, and just consumers who all are part of this campaign. And so the Student Farm Worker Alliance has 2 staff based here in Immokalee, and then a national network of students and a steering committee that is comprised of students from across the nation at their different universities. So our campaign right now with Wendy's the way that the Student Farm Worker Alliance is most relevant is that we have a campaign called Boot the Braids. So our tactic is that a lot of these major universities, like big-time state universities, will have a Wendy's on campus. So they actually have like a direct contract with Wendy's to have a Wendy's on campus. And that means a lot of business for Wendy's too, is all these students that come through and they have deals on really cheap food that students really love. So what we are organizing is to get those Wendy's off of campus. So we're trying to boot the braids, get those universities to cut the contracts until Wendy's joins the program. And that's been super effective. Students have been pretty instrumental in a number of the campaigns. And during the Taco Bell campaign in 2001, they managed to get upwards of 15 Taco Bells off of campus entirely under the condition that they could only be on campus if they were part of the Fair Food program.
So Taco Bell is also a holdout?
No, so Taco Bell, that was back in 2001. So students were like instrumental in getting that campaign. The 14 corporations that are part of the program include Taco Bell, Chipotle, McDonald's, Burger King, Aramark, Walmart, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, Walmart. I'm missing a few, but the top five fast food corporations except for Wendy's. So really what we've done is go company by company. And we've been campaigning since 2001. So it's been, 16, 17 years of this, just going fast food company by fast food company or supermarket by supermarket, pressuring them until they join. And the campaigns have been a variety of times. So Taco Bell was like 4 years. McDonald's was 2 years. Burger King was 1 year. And Wendy's has been a holdout. They've, resisted us for the last 5 years. And in that time, actually bowing to our pressure, they first move all their purchasing to Mexico. And then LA Times article exposed that their farms in Mexico had child labor. So then they moved back to the U.S., but they still haven't moved to Fair Food Program farms. So they're sort of running away and hiding behind a facade of corporate responsibility, which is really just about PR and not about farm worker rights.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the farm workers' rights, I remember what I wanted to ask before. In regards to women in the fields, what about women who become pregnant? Do they get any compensation for not lifting, or are they just told you're pregnant, you can't work anymore? You there?
Yeah, I think farm worker women who get pregnant generally just stop working, and it's not really, I don't really know if it's a situation where the company tells them to leave, or if it's just that they work until they're able. But like we were saying, there are very few like institutionalized benefits like you would traditionally expect, right? Like there's no maternity leave, there's no paid sick leave. So farm worker women, pregnancy is no different. And we would really love to be able to sort of campaign for that. But right now, just ensuring basic rights like water was the top priority,
Sure. And how has the immigration status in our country affected the farm workers? I mean, are they being forced to work harder, or has it been good for them that there's more work for them? Or, I'm sure it's impact. We hear how it's impacting the farmers. I'm curious how it's impacting the farm workers.
Bueno, en esa situación, lo que es la industria agrícola, no ven una parte sobre eso, y en nuestra comunidad pues hay varias maneras como llega a la comunidad.
Well, the farm worker, like the agricultural industry, it obviously rests upon immigrant labor right now, but the abuses that we see are just a continuation of how agriculture in the U.S. has always been done. You can trace a pretty direct line from the abuses that farm workers suffer today to the slavery plantations of the 1800s. Like, it's really no different. And the fact that the face of labor has changed from African-American to predominantly immigrant hasn't made really that much of a difference. These farm worker rights are continued to be abused. And actually, there are also, legal residents of the U.S. who suffer these same conditions. It's a problem in agriculture as a whole and not really per se caused by or enabled by immigration solely.
Entonces, hay varias maneras como los trabajadores llegan aquí. Uno llega a su propia manera, y muchos también vienen con el permiso de trabajo, donde puede ser peores condiciones para esos trabajadores.
And there are many ways. So our community is comprised primarily of immigrants from Guatemala, Mexico, and Haiti. And there are many ways that people arrive here. Some of them come on their own, but many of them also arrive through like work contracts, like the H-2A visa. And that also doesn't ensure their rights. H-2A workers can face the same sorts of abuses that people who came here through, you know, illegal methods face as well.
Uh-huh. And are the farms still able to hire illegal immigrants, or are they only able to hire those that are legally here?
The Fair Food Program, we don't address the documented status of our workers at all. That's, you know, we're really just trying to protect farm worker rights regardless of who they are or what their legal status is or what their documented status is. So farms can hire whoever it is right now. I don't know what legally the U.S. says about that, but within the Fair Food Program, we protect everyone equally and don't give a preference to documented or undocumented workers in any way.
Uh-huh. And so how can my listeners get involved and support the work of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers?
There are a lot of ways. First off, just spreading the word. So boycotting Wendy's, boycotting Publix if you're in the Southeast. But you can also get involved looking online. We have a number of websites I would direct you to, ciw-online.org. CIW-online.org, where you can find out more information about our campaign, sign up for our listserv. And we really have actions everywhere. So like last year, we hosted a major action in New York City. We host protests across the nation. And if you're signed up for our listserv, you sort of receive updates about local actions. So showing up for an action is a really great way of showing solidarity and support. You know, the more people attend our marches, the stronger a message is sent to Wendy's. We also sometimes have social media campaigns. Right now, in the month of December, we're having a holiday card campaign. So if you write a little holiday card saying, Wendy's, you know, have some holiday spirit, do the right thing and join the Fair Food Program, for example, and send that to Wendy's, that would be really helpful and meaningful to us. So there are a lot of different ways of getting involved. And if you follow us online, you'll hear about all the different campaigns we're running. There's almost always some sort of call to action, whether it's very small, like writing a card or making a donation, or really big, like coming through to a major action in Ohio, for example.
Uh-huh. Sounds great. So we've covered a lot. Is there anything that I have not covered that you would like to share with my listeners?
No, nada más queremos que tomen esa conciencia y apoyar esta campaña para boicotear a Wendy's. Creo que ellos han tomado una decisión y ellos, lugar de comprar en Florida, cambiaron su compra en México, donde sabemos que no existen derechos. Entonces saben que lo están haciendo mal.
No, we really just want consumer support, consumer consciousness. You know, it's only been through the partnership between consumers and farm workers that all these successes have been made. You know, our campaign really rests on people power, and whether that's students' faith or just consumers who buy at these supermarkets and these fast food restaurants. So we really urge you to support our Wendy's boycott to help spread the word. You know, we've seen Wendy's move to Mexico where there's child labor and really no protection. So we've seen them going really far to avoid doing their responsibility. And we as consumers have a voice to tell them that it's, you know, enough is enough and it's time's up, Wendy's. They need to join the Fair Food Program and protect farm worker women and protect all.
Yeah. And I'm thrilled to hear that.
Visit our website.
Student Alliance is really working, because students have so much power. I mean, students, you know, are pushing for the divestment, you know, for colleges to divest their endowments from fossil fuels. You know, they were instrumental in the apartheid fight. You know, students really have a lot of power, and so I'm really so happy to see the Student Farm Worker Alliance working to organize students, because there's no better time when you're young and you have that energy to really come together. How many students do you currently have participating in the alliance?
Yeah. First off, I just wanted to say that we absolutely see ourselves within this greater student organizing, and we really work in solidarity with other orgs and other sorts of movements as well, collaborating with people like Divest. But I think our network is incountable, really. We've got people who have been organizing since 2001 on their campuses and who have now moved on, graduated from college, working at labor unions and spreading the word, but we still consider them, you know, Student Farm Worker Alliance original members.
Uh-huh.
So network is huge. Right now we've got campaigns on 5 different campuses with tons of students involved, and we've got local chapters of the Student Farm Worker Alliance everywhere. The steering committee is anywhere between 15 to 19 or 20 people a year. So that's just students on different campuses that organize, plus our 2 staff members here. So really it's just a growing network that can't really be stopped, which is amazing.
Great. Great. Well, I know that's what you're really involved in, Nico, at your work up at Brown. And so I wish you the best of luck. And Lionel, thank you so much for joining us. Both of you were just great. I really appreciate you coming on and giving us the time. And my listeners, I'm sure, will join in on your campaigns. Thank you so much, and I will share the Coalition of Monthly Workers Online.org website so that everybody can participate.
Yeah, thank you so, so much, Bhavani.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the time. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Visit us online at ciw-online.org. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. And everyone listening out there, thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. See you all again next week. Bye for now.